true life and music history. The Ants Human Stars podcast with your hosts, Caleb and Digo. Are you ready? Steady. Go. Well, although I'm dying to talk about Scream.
What's it called?
65. One of the worst movies. I forgot that we could still talk about a movie that I got to finally 3 weeks ago on the plane.
That's right.
Fucking 2008. That.
Exactly. Yes.
We can get into that. Fresh hot off the press. Hashtag Wakanda. Is that in trending anymore? Is hashtag Wakanda forever trending?
It's all right. It is forever trending, like just in the zeitgeist. Maybe not exactly on Twitter right this instant, but in the in the world of pop culture and all that.
So I'm downloading the movie again in my head. And like I said, I watched on the plane, mm-hmm. so very focused. Took notes. No. Mm-hmm. Again, let me hold off and let me hear. Again, you probably have to think about it too. Okay, like what happened, how the flow of the movie was.
So I've seen this movie now 3 times, and I have discussed it mm-hmm. In depth with people mm-hmm. several times. So I already know, like okay, this is how I feel about it, and this is these are my thoughts and whatnot.
I mean, even though we obviously lost the main character, in real life, that. I still mm-hmm. had full confidence in them being able to execute a movie. Like, just figure it out. I know it's difficult, but not impossible. I mean, I have faith. This is me before I watched the movie. I have faith you guys can put something mm-hmm. together and get it. As far as how they dealt with the plot of losing the main character and then making this movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, at the beginning, I liked how they just got into it. Like, they didn't build it. Mm-hmm. He was dying as mm-hmm. soon as the movie started. So it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, sure. Yeah, sure. Like, why waste time to get to something that mm-hmm. we already know? Okay, let's get to it. Okay, fine. And similar death too. He didn't die in a battle. He died like mm-hmm. he died in real life. Okay. All good mm-hmm. there. Fast forward to the end of the movie where they're on that big black ship. And mm-hmm. all the Wakandan female warriors mm-hmm. have the Iron Man suit on. And there's also an Iron Man woman, Iron Woman flying around who has way mm-hmm. more character depth than some of the lead characters. But she also felt she mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. shoehorned into the movie as well. Okay, so at that point in the movie, I'm like, oh, we didn't get there. Okay, once we were there, like once the ending was happening, and I was like, oh, we never got there. We you know, it was poor. Mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. Nope, it didn't happen. It didn't. Mm-hmm. You didn't. It wasn't a success. So that's like what I was feeling from the Black Panther hero. Now, the villain, who was multifaceted, and I love the obviously the Latino, Mexican, and everything part of it.
Mm-hmm. He fine, too.
Oh, just, yeah. No,
I'll be a villain.
The way he speaks with it, the accent, I love how he didn't want to, like, disguise it in any way or make him, like, you know, like, it was, like, him. And,
And it how was just there, fully present.
Yeah. I just felt like this was such an awesome, a believable bad guy. I am with, you know, when sometimes you're with the bad guy, you're like, I'm kind of with him. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, he says the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't feel like he deserved to get knocked down by that Black Panther. I didn't feel like he deserved to lose. In the I know she had to win. I mean, that's the movie, but I didn't feel it was fair. I didn't feel like he deserved to lose. I think he should have won, and he should have gotten what he deserved, and he should have protected his people that have been long, way longer than Wakanda, apparently. They've been there doing their shit for a long, long time before Wakanda. I just didn't, that fight sequence with him and her at the end, it just felt very unfulfilling. Didn't quite make sense. Mm. Here's another thing. We all know that she was going to be Black Panther. I keep forgetting her name, neither her actress, the actress and the character.
So in the show, in the movie, she's Shuri. That's her name. And her real name in real life is Letitia Wright.
Okay. Miss Wright. Like, we know she's going to be the Black Panther. I mean, like, of course, this is obvious. We come in knowing this. Okay, in the first movie, there was such a plot about him taking the throne, right? And even when it was like all like obvious that he's gonna take the throne after his dead dad, in comes you know, come in to challenge him, and it's such a plot point. It's this huge thing. I'm not trying to be sexist or nothing, but it is like, I would have used like, she's a woman. Is she going to be able to lead us out of this? There should have been some kind of struggle for her to take the throne. You know, like, not. It just seemed all of a sudden, automatic. She gets it. I know she's the daughter. The queen is dead. All this stuff. Like, by the way, I love being 2000 and late to this movie, so I could just say everything. There's no spoilers. You guys all saw this movie. I saw it like 3 weeks ago. Yes, the queen dies. She assumes the throne automatically. I asked why. Not as a person who knows what's going to happen, just as an outsider. Why does she get the throne? And no one challenged her. There was actually a small scene where M'Baku, is that his name? I think. M'Baku comes in.
Winston Duke.
Whew. Oh, he's great. He's great. I love him. He's so good. I didn't miss what's his face? The other guy. Who's in the Alien movie.
Oh, Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah. I mean, like, I love them both, but, like, M'Baku.
I know. He stands out. Yeah. He stands out way, way more.
There was a small scene. Anyways, there was a small scene where he shows up to challenge, and then they're like, actually, she's gone. And it was like a humorous, like, afterthought of, like, oh, wait, what about the challenge that they usually do, which is a huge part of the first movie.
Are you talking about at the end, or when they're all in the throne room?
It's like before the big black ship. She's got the powers now. She's got the panther suit. They're all like, we need to do things, and then that waterfall sequence with all the people that was so magical in the first movie, and then M'Baku shows up, and then they're like, yeah, she ain't here. And he's like, meh, all right. And they just kind of like explain it away. They're just like, it's okay. The challenge isn't quite needed. Again, even though that whole challenge sequence was so elemental in the first movie, Umbaku comes in, fails, and it was, but it was close. The bad guy comes in, takes over, nearly kills the panther in this challenge, and they assume he assumes the throne because. And none of that was, and then it was like, oh, now she's Black Panther, but we don't need to do this with her. We don't need the challenge, even though it was so quite important in the first movie. We're not gonna, you know, there was so many things that I felt like you guys just dropped the ball left and right in trying to make this movie. Anyway, I think,
okay, we're gonna start with all those things. I understand, I can kind of see where you're coming from, where, like, the big fight scene at the end was a little, if I'm honest, was a little, like, underwhelming. I think I give it a pass because this movie was so much more than just an action movie. Both these movies, and even before Wakanda Forever came out, Black Panther stood out from all these other Marvel movies because it had way more depth than all the rest of them. The rest of them are just typical superhero movies. There's a bad guy, there's a good guy, they're fighting, yada yada. There was just much more depth and realism brought to that movie. So with that said, this movie for me again had that, there was so much more depth and realism that I was like, yeah, it was okay that this fight scene didn't reach the level that I would have liked or the level of the previous movie. So for me, the whole film is really a lesson on how to deal with grief from all different perspectives. And I thought it was done beautifully. So from Shuri's perspective of, yeah, you've lost your brother, then you lose your mother, then, you know, it's not like she necessarily even wanted the throne. So she's not in this position. It's not like she's like power hungry. She's just like, I'm just trying to figure out my life. Like, what the heck is going on? And she kind of, her grief is presented kind of in anger, and she wants to burn the world down. We see how, gosh, I can't remember his name, but the villain, how he deals with grief, where he is very much like, I will kill whoever I need to kill to protect my people and make sure that they don't suffer through what they have suffered through in the past. But then we see healthy ways of dealing with grief from Queen Ramonda, and how she's like, you know, your brother's always with you and you have to deal with this and you got to let it go. Otherwise, it's just going to eat you up. Like, you can't keep holding on to this. So for me, like, that was the big thing. And I thought they did such a beautiful job of showing that through this superhero lens, but also just very, very like tangible and real of like, yeah, these are all different ways. These are all different ways that people deal with grief and losing people that are close to you, while also just dealing with life. Like, life goes on. Even in the middle of your grief, you still have to deal with life. And so that was the biggest takeaway for me. That's what I really liked. I thought they did such a great job with that. Now, yes, there was a whole lot going on. They introduced Riri Williams, I think is her last name, she's Ironheart. And in the comics, she does take over Iron Man's mantle. So I also talked to Sebastian, and Sebastian kind of felt the same way you did, that they were kind of just like shoving her in our faces and like shoving her through. Again, I kind of chalk that up to like Disney has a direction they're trying to go, and you can clearly see that they're trying to introduce all these new younger characters, and so they're like, get them in. I thought it was kind of well done. I did think it was well done. I liked her. I thought the actor who played her was great. There's clearly a whole lot more to explore with the character. She's getting her own show on Disney Plus. But that was cool. I loved all the different representation with the Mexican American representation. Because they were kind of from that area.
I mean, the representation is well rounded because it's like a Mesoamerica, Central America history, lore,
mm-hmm.
Of indigenous people. Plus, the actors, of course, are Mexican and Central American. I don't know how many countries they used. The lead actor, I don't know where he's from.
Yeah, he is Mexican. And I'm pretty sure.
So, like, we're getting Mexican mm-hmm. from the actors, mm-hmm. and then sort of indigenous lore that mixed with Black Panther. Not everything that was presented is, like, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't want to use real because, like, what's real? I mean, like, you know, but
no,
I'm
no,
just
but
saying,
I get what
like,
you're saying. Yeah, his, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Namor is actually in the comics. Namor is the first. This was the first time a Marvel movie has used the word mutant.
I remember that.
What's the Olsen girl? Elizabeth Olsen, her character.
Oh, yeah.
She is technically, that was their first introduction of mutants. But at the time when she was introduced.
I'm so blown away that she's an Olsen.
I know, right?
I didn't know that when she was fighting in the Avengers movie at the last one, Endgame. I didn't know that during Endgame. Wow. Can you imagine? Anyway.
I can't imagine. Scarlet Witch, her and then her Scarlet brother Witch. Quicksilver, they were the first introduction, but at the time Marvel didn't have the rights to X-Men and everything, so they weren't allowed to use that word. So this was the first time that the word mutant was used in a Marvel movie. Namor also in the comic book lore is the first mutant, so that's a whole thing in and of itself. There's a lot of little things that I thought were cool like that they added that if you don't read comics and you're not going to know. And I'm not some huge diehard comic reader, but I do know a little bit. Also, so again, from that to Ironheart to Danai Gurira's character, you know, once she gets kicked out of the Dora Milaje, she becomes the knight something. That's real. That's in the comics. They have these two. They're dressed just like that. So that wasn't this just like, oh, let's just make this fancy outfit and this side character with these side powers. Like, it was true to the comic.
So, similar issues with Black Adam. The issues that I saw with this movie and Black Adam is that you had a lot to do. So in this mm-hmm. case was obviously paved the way for the rest of Wakanda and mm-hmm. introduced Black Adam. Both of them, huge monumental tasks. And like the first Batman, we had the Joker. Finite. It was one character, basic, and the rest of the movie flowed very well because there wasn't a lot of plot points to get through. And there was enough mm-hmm. space for everything to breathe and to really land. Just like Black Adam, there's a lot in Wakanda Forever that was very heavy and very deep and very like well done. Like in Black Adam, it was the mom and the son that he was trying to work with in the movie and save or something. I forget that movie. And then here, obviously, the grief and everything was, like you said, like very well done. And the best part of that movie, just like in Black Adam, the best parts is nothing to do with what's his face, is everything to do with that mom and that kid. And then both movies have these setups that they wanted to do to. And so that's a lot of things to do in a two and a half hours or three hours
yeah,
almost.
It was a lot to do.
They really worked on that, like everything about losing the original Black Panther was believable, delivered well, the sun at the end, everything was like, that part was great. And what I saw very hastily, everything else was hastily put together or not as well designed as this emotional part of the movie. And then again, the kind of like, you're not allowing me to breathe through these new characters that you're introducing very quickly. I still want to see more about, you know, what's her face that got kicked off? What's her name?
Danai Gurira.
The Malaj. Danai Gurira.
Who got kicked off?
Who got fired?
She plays gosh, what's her? She plays who you're talking about. That character who gets kicked out is like the leader of the woman's army.
I'm still like, one of the best things about Wakanda One was her. Like she was such like an amazing character.
Okoye, that's her name.
I love her character. I like the power of the woman and how she's just her that bow that she has, the spear and everything. It's just like it's such a basic tool, but I am amazing with this weapon. You know, I'm just, all I need is this weapon, and it just feels like so amazing. Anyways, so her plot point about getting fired and then coming back, as you said, assuming this like character, was all like okay, even though the suit, I was like, yeah, but whatever. It looks like it. Hey, you can't change it. That's the way it is. Well, you can, because they do it all the time. But anyways, it's fine. But in doing so, you took away quickly, without any hint or preview, you took away that best part of her, which is she's this badass on her own. Maybe if she's got her team, but it's the badass on her own with the spear that I remember from the first movie, that's very hands-on, you know, like we're seeing action, very like John Wick, very I'm an action superstar with my hands.
I get that.
And then it took me to, you're this superhero, which is not like I didn't see her as a superhero, but you know, like now you're just a CGI thing. I lost you in what would be like the final battle, which would you know, would be like when we would see her. We did get to see her before, which was great. Don't worry, like, we got to see,
I was going to say, car that chase scene on the bridge with her and that whole great car chase, that in my opinion was best action part of the movie. Like, that was, I thought it was so sick.
Actually, you know what the best sequence for me, and now at this point I was like, had nothing to say about the movie. At this point, I had nothing. I was just all in. I was like, ooh, things are looking good for this movie. When the queen shows up to the UN, not the UN, but some, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And they bring in those soldiers after that fight sequence and everything. I was like,
Ooh,
shit. That was
sick.
Okay. And
I need to now pivot because speaking of the queen, we got to talk about the queen. I also want to mention very quickly, yes, Angela Bassett should have won her Oscar. I mean, the Oscars are already trash, but they're like extra trash because she didn't win. Look, we all love Jamie Lee Curtis, but Jamie Lee Curtis did not deserve an Oscar, especially not for that role. Everything Everywhere All at Once was my favorite movie of last year, but Jamie Lee Curtis's role was like the least or the most forgettable, the least memorable of it. If they were going to give it to somebody from the movie, they should have given it to Stephanie Hsu, who played the daughter. But with that said, no one else had a better performance than Angela Bassett. And the scene for me, which they showed a clip of it as her like scene when they're showing the previews of the nominees before they announce who won, when she's in the throne room and she's firing Okoye and she says, "Have I not given everything?" I don't know about you or anyone else.
That's true. I remember that scene.
I felt that, and I say that honestly from this perspective of like, yeah, I watch movies and I, a lot of times I feel, you feel the, or I should say for me, a lot of times I felt like the emotion of like sadness or like, oh, that was so sweet or that was so cute. But this was in this moment of like, oh, I feel this woman's pain, like as if she's real. Like, because for a split second,
because on
I was
one
like,
end,
no, don't fire her.
Exactly.
Like,
need, exactly.
Like,
on
she's,
one end,
yeah,
you're
like, you can't fire
don't.
Her.
Don't. She's fine. She's right.
Yes, exactly. Let her go find Shuri.
She's
Okoye.
She's totally, like, who else would do it? And then comes in Angela Bassett and she's like, no, it's like this. And you're like, oh, it is like that.
And
oh,
the
damn.
Way she broke it down of like,
yeah.
I just lost my son. I've lost my husband. You've lost my daughter. The last living, like, immediate relative I have.
And I told you. You shouldn't be taking her with you. But you did
well,
anyway.
Not only, yeah, that too, but also she even breaks down the scene where she's like, when Killmonger invaded in the last movie and how she's like, all of you elders went and stood with him. And I had to run off because you guys didn't want support. So it was just perfectly written. And again, Angela Bassett just delivered it because I was like, oh, yeah, I get it. You got to fire her. Like, yeah, like this is it. She cannot give any more chances to anyone at this point because now she's running a country and she's, yeah, just losing her family like back to back to back. Yeah, I was like, I get it. So I just thought, yeah, that was so well done, so well written, so well acted. I was really surprised that they killed her. I was like, well, dang, okay.
See, again, getting back to what I've been saying, I'm like, you're squeezing a lot into this. This is, we already had a lot in this movie, and now we have to sit through the death of Angela Bassett?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was fully expecting her to be the whole, in this whole thing till the end. You know, like, Wakanda 6, No Time to Die, and then she finally dies. But no, now she's gone. And it's fine. I know what. So, like, they're setting up things in the future. That's all good. Whatever. We will evolve. But maybe it's what I feel like there's no rush to get to things. I think we always have time, but they don't think of it that way. They're like, this is a big multi-billion-dollar machine. We have to make sure all these things. Where I would have taken a lot out of that. I would have been like, nope, not this, not that, not that, not that. Kept all of Angela and the daughter and the loss and everything. Because that's one thing I was left with. I didn't feel like they didn't honor the first movie and Chadwick. They completely checkmark on that 100%. Mm-hmm. Everything else, whatever. But that one they definitely got to, and I think obviously it's what they focused on the most. They were just like, we need to. This needs to deliver. And yeah, the other things got, I think, dropped. I don't think of it as a failure. I just think of it like I would have tweaked this thing
differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably just have kept, because the way the bad guy comes into this felt right as well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like, okay, now we need a bad guy. You know, like it seemed like it came very it made sense. It just made sense.
And that's why
Wakanda is getting to the world. The world knows about their metal. That metal is now a problem. And then introduce other people that use the metal. Wait, what? There's other people. It's like, everything was like, okay, we're coming together nicely, neatly here.
And see, they do a good job of that because, like you said, how you were like feeling like, I kind of agree with him. It was the same thing with Black Panther 1 with Killmonger. Like, it was a whole lot he was saying where it was like, I kind of agree with him. And I think that
agree with him.
I think that's just a testament to, Ryan and then the writers that, these villains don't just, like you said, they don't just feel like, oh, we need a villain, so let's put somebody in here. Like, it very much fits. And then also, again, it's not so good and evil, good and bad, right and wrong. Like, it's very much like, okay, there's nuance to all of this. I feel like as a watcher, you are then asking yourself the question, like, how would I feel about this? If I was like, should we kill this girl? Because on one hand, you don't want to kill the girl, but then you're like, but I kind of understand his, what's the word? Like, I understand him being so adamant about, I'm eliminating any threat. Like, I'm just not, we're not even going to play around with this, with, possibly hurting my people, yada, yada. And I think that's good. Like, again, that's what separates them from a lot of majority of the other Marvel films, because it really is giving you these questions to ask yourself that usually you would go to a dramatic movie or like a thriller to be asking these questions. You don't go to a superhero movie thinking about like, well, how would I handle this situation? Would I be on the bad guy's side or whatnot? So,
By the way, did these guys suffer the blip or no?
They did. But now everybody's back. And
I don't remember them addressing that underwater.
They didn't, but you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad they didn't.
I asked this because like every Marvel movie since,
I know,
has been
exactly
like, exactly, let's deal with the trauma of the blip and like blah 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 and like what are we, etc. I mean, I haven't seen the latest Ant-Man.
I'm
sure they still talk about it.
I'm sure. But I'm kind of glad they didn't, because everybody's been like, I'm just like, yeah, I... this movie had another focus. We have to deal with the death of a superhero. Like, that has to be the focus. Like, I don't mind that they didn't address it. So overall, what's your one out of 10?
It's a 7. It's like, I'm not in love with it. I could rewatch it, but I'd rather watch the first one.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, so I gave it like a 8.5. Another thing that I actually appreciated about this was, and not many sequels can do this, but I appreciate that you can't even compare this with the first movie. And not because this movie was bad, but literally just because they're different movies. Like, you just can't. Which, again, I actually really like. I like that there's, because that's what we were all going into it, like, so how does this stack up? But then I remember distinctly for me, I just left feeling like, oh, like, I have my feelings about that movie, but, like, you can't even compare. Like, they're just two completely different films.
And to be clear, I mean, there's lots of action sequences in the first one, big scenes, but, you know, I'm not sold on CGI sequences. That's not how I'm won over. I prefer the movie to gel together well is the best thing. I don't need any action sequences. But if we're going to straight compare just action to action, it's comparable. You know, it's
the same. It, getting specific.
I'm not I didn't need the army final thing, even though we got it, right? Like, we got it. There's always seems to be an army against an army, and then, you know, whatever. That's one thing that happened. I didn't necessarily think we needed to. I would have been like, why don't they just fight? Like, just the,
oh, yeah.
The Black just Panther and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't need to get their whole armies up in arms. that would have been cool. But
they call him Cuckoo Clan. Is that what he said? The Serpent King.
I love how he was like, I would take care of him. He threw M'Baku so far.
Just boom. Just he was boom. Like, he's like, I haven't been hit like that. And,
It was also terrifying that I felt the terror of the Wakandans being like, wait, we're not all powerful? What?
Right.
I thought we ran this.
So that's the thing. This, I don't know if I was reading it or I was listening to somebody. This is a setup now for, he said it in the movie. That's right. Like, when the world tries to come for Wakanda, they're going to be like, well, we need the next superpower, which is the superpower that no one knows about. Because clearly, in this world now, the United States specifically is like, we want what you have.
Hey, do you remember Alexandria?
Okay, oh, yes.
Scene. Yeah, and I'm like, could be. Yeah,
I know. This could be.
It also could be,
but it's not
anywhere. And I was like, Alexandria? Okay, cool. Where are we going to go? And I was like, ooh.
He's running in a forest.
In a forest.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You know what? I was thinking, though, for my own writing, I'm like, well, good. I could just say anywhere is Lorton. Anywhere is Springfield. It doesn't actually have to look like it. But yes.
Oh, I'm thinking the same thing. I also just like, okay, so obviously I am a big Seinfeld fan, so it was nice to see one of the characters, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, as a character now. But
so her she's character been popping
was
up.
Not delivered well. It was like,
I don't like her character.
I mean, and she's you're meant to not like it.
But it's also, but it's not even just that. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
she's been popping up in the movies and the shows. And even before this,
she's got a role. She's going to fulfill some eventual role.
You know what she is? She is going to be leading, the movie, is called, oh my God, why am I blanking on everything tonight? There's a movie which is basically going to be Marvel's version of Suicide Squad. because Marvel has that. And so the Winter Soldier is going to be in there and several other people. And so she's going to be leading that. So she's basically, she's playing Viola Davis, the way Viola Davis set up the Suicide Squad. And so that's her character, apparently. But yeah, I'm like, eh, okay. Like, is her scene done yet?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, there wasn't enough of her.
Also, I'm sorry.
It's not like I needed more of her, but you know what I'm saying? There wasn't enough of development of her to even have it even included her.
But see, again, I kind of just blame that on Marvel in general of trying to stuff a million things.
Yeah.
Like they're trying, like what I feel like right now is happening is they're like, we just got to hurry up and get to like the next end game. And so we got to stuff all these characters, all these new characters in and whatnot. And so, yeah, could we have seen more? Of course.
I
just kind of blame, like, that's the Marvel train.
Some of the issues was there was not enough, but most of the issues that I saw was you're putting too much in here. You could have cut half an hour out of this movie and it would have been tight. It would have been good. And from my perspective, they would have cut even some action sequences. I would have been like, don't need it.
I do appreciate that they fleshed out the villain, Namor. Like, is it? I like that they, just thought they did a very good job of like fleshing out his character, and it didn't feel rushed and didn't feel like it was too much for me. Mm-hmm. It was just the right amount. So I'm interested to see where they take that character and.
They'll kill him off in the next movie. That's what's gonna happen. I mean, they killed Angela Bassett.
Nah, they're gonna hold. They're gonna. I know.
So
it was. Speaking of people who were killed, it was nice little cameo from our guy Michael B. Jordan.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah.
Deagle's like, he was in that movie.
I knew he was coming.
Where was the cameo?
I knew he was coming when she was having her
really?
Moment.
See, I had no clue.
I was like. No, she's not going to have Angela Bassett come in. It's like, and I was actually terrified that they were going to do some sort of, that's when Chadwick was going to come in somehow. Like some, not computer generated, but maybe a voice or something that would have come in. But, and then I was like.
I'm glad that. I'm sorry, keep going.
No,
I was just going to say, I'm glad they didn't do that. Yeah, they didn't do any of that kind of like.
It's good that we never saw him. Not even a CGI, not even a. But the 3D-ness of him. We didn't see that. We didn't. It was not even a body. There was a casket, but it was just. That's it. Not even like a hand or a. Nothing. It was just like he's completely removed.
And that was such a great. I'm sorry. Don't lose your thought. I just want to say it was a great tribute. Like the movie did such a good job of like honoring him in such a genuine way. Even in the beginning where all Marvel movies start and they flip through and show all the different like scenes as Marvel is coming on screen. Yeah, and it was all him.
Yep.
Like and it's just silent. Like I just thought that was beautiful. So I did think that they did such a nice job. It wasn't overkill. But it was also like, let's recognize that like this dude forever will be until the end of time. Like he will be synonymous with Black Panther. So let's not do a quick and loving memory of Chadwick. But also it wasn't like I said, I didn't think it wasn't overdone. It was just even the last scene at the end where Shuri was thinking back to them and it's like scenes of them like hugging or whatnot and smiling. It was just nice. It was very nice.
Thanks for listening to the Ants Human Stars podcast with Caleb and Digo. Stay connected and get updates about new episodes by visiting our website, antshumanstars.com, and by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive rating and review and share about us with your community on social media. Thanks, y'all. We really appreciate it.